Now you make me cry about Teresa, but anyway. She's daddy's girl. I mean, anyway, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What Pastor was saying this morning at Sunday school was so good. I mean, so everybody needs to come to his Sunday school class, amen? But is that what you wanted me to say? No. But no, it was so good. He mentioned children are an heritage of the Lord. But nowadays, it's in Japan, it's here. People think children are a burden, right? Let me tell you what, children are not a burden. This doesn't have anything to do with the message, but this is extra, amen? But in the video you saw then, there was at one point when we had to have church in our house. It was like a 8x13 room. Okay, during that time, we were pretty discouraged. But then we had stopped having children about 3 or 4 times. And we had finally stopped, we thought. But my wife got pregnant. We're not sure how. No, not really. And Teresa's little sister was born. And she became a source of joy. You know, God just gave her to us, and everybody just loved her, and she was a source of joy. And anyway, have children, will travel, or whatever, something like that. If you have children, it's harder to travel. And every missionary has some of those deputation stories. I don't have time for that, but anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you can mark this passage 1:17 through 2:5, but let's go. That's a long passage, but I'm going to read that passage. The Apostle Paul speaking, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men." Young people, when you remember that, if you're trying to make decisions about your life, God is way smarter than you. Amen. Hey, old people, we need to remember the same thing. We didn't get absolutely smart just because we got a little older. We need to be careful. So, and it says, "And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, nor many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." But of him are ye in, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, let he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit, of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I pray now that you'd cleanse my heart and of every evil thing, of every evil thought. I pray that you'd work in the congregation in every person's heart, that you'd help to just cleanse our hearts of stray thoughts, evil thoughts, thoughts that take us away from the Word of God, and that you'd that your Spirit would come upon us. I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit now as I preach your Word. I pray that you would empower your Word to the listeners as they hear it. And we ask you that you help me to preach the Word of God accurately and not make up things. I pray that you'd help me to preach in the power of the Spirit. I pray that, Lord, that you would work in hearts today and we would go out of here different than when we came in. I pray that if there's someone here today, I mean tonight, who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that tonight would be the night they would receive him as their Savior and have eternal life and forgiveness of sin and a new life in Christ. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I read kind of a long passage, but I really just want to, the reason I read the long passage was because the in general, Paul, what's Paul talking about? He's talking about that things that are done in the spiritual realm are done by God's power. They're done by God's power. The gospel is not a complex message. I've gone to many a door in Japan. I remember, and then sometimes you actually get to talk to people. When you can explain the gospel to them, some of them just say, wakarimasen, meaning I don't understand. But a lot of times that's what they're saying is, I understood, but I don't like it. That's really a lot of times a euphemism for that. But well, what are we saying? God's word is simple. It's simple, but it takes the power of God to bring understanding to our hearts because of our sinful nature. And then, but we see that God has the power to do that. Why? And we see in verse 28 is the thing I want to emphasize. It says, God uses base things. In the final part, he says he uses things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Now, your tongue could get twisted in that, right? But your brain could get twisted in that, couldn't it? He's using things that don't exist to take out of existence things that do exist. That's pretty hard to understand. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say God can create something from nothing. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. That word created in the Hebrew is talking about creating something from nothing. Created the heavens and the earth. And so God is the only person, the only one, who can make something out of nothing. The only exception to that is evolutionists. They believe that the universe can just come by itself from nothing. Now, how reasonable is that? That's not very reasonable. They think it's reasonable somehow, but that's what they believe. But God is really the only one who can bring something out of nothing. So the message tonight is I want to encourage you about the character of God, the attribute of God. He's the something from nothing God. The something from nothing God. Now, God not only created the universe from nothing, but he doesn't need resources to make anything. Now, you and I need resources. When we built our church, we had to go buy resources to build it. We could figure it out. What design do we want to make? We could do that in our heads, but we could not just make. It would have been great. Saved a lot of money, amen, if we could have just brought the materials out of nothing, amen. But we can't do that. Only God can do that. But the point is, He's our God, and He can do that. He's the something from nothing God. Now, for that reason, I want to teach you a principle. You probably already know this principle, but the principle that how God makes something out of nothing. God loves to do it. God does it all the time. Now, here, the Apostle Paul, for example, says, God hath you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. What's he saying? He's saying that a lot of the people that were called in the ministry by the judgment of other men didn't seem like they were very smart. They weren't educated or something in their idea of education. But yet God called them. Why? Because God is the one who can make something out of nothing. He can make, He can give wisdom to people. He can give wisdom to people if they're willing to receive it. Now, to teach this principle, let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to see this principle, and then we're going to apply it in a few different ways. 1 Kings chapter 17, I know you've probably had this preached over and over, but here's Elijah and the widow woman. Now, take a look at this in chapter 17, 1 Kings 17. Okay. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So we have here an illustration of this principle, that God making something from nothing. Here you have, what do you have first? The first ingredient is nothing. That's the first ingredient. Okay, Elijah had nothing. He didn't have a credit card. And when he left King Ahab, he didn't have a credit card. He didn't have any cash in hand. He didn't have a house to go to. He didn't have a fortress to go to. He didn't have anything. He didn't have a car. He had nothing. The second ingredient is the word of the Lord. Here it says, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get thee hence and turn and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. The second ingredient is the word of the Lord. The third ingredient that we need is the obedience of faith. What did Elijah do? He went and did according to the word of the Lord. And then God made something out of nothing. Elijah had no home. Elijah had no food. God provided him a place to stay. He provided him protection. You know, a lot of the president has Secret Service agents all around him all the time. People might be seeking his life. Especially nowadays, I guess. But anyway, they might be seeking his life. Other important people have protection around them. Men with guns and so forth. Women with guns, whatever. Elijah's life was in danger. He went to the king and he told him, you're not going to have any rain because you guys are promoting Baalism in this country. You're not going to have any rain for 3.5 years until I say so. And then he left. His life was out there. He was in danger. Ahab's wife had killed thousands or hundreds of prophets already. Elijah goes, and God provides him food, shelter, and protection, and water. Why? The word of the Lord. First ingredient, nothing. Second ingredient, the word of the Lord. Third ingredient, the obedience of faith. Now, here we have it again in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, the brook dried up. Again, Elijah didn't have any water. So again, the first ingredient, nothing. The second ingredient, the word of the Lord came, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering her sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. So she was, she didn't have any food stamps, no welfare. She was just gathering up some sticks, and she was going to fix her last meal, which wasn't a great meal. You know, just some flour and some oil and cook it on a stone or something. That was it. But she was going to have the last meal. She said, I can't give you a cake because that's our last meal. We don't have anything. And Elijah said, here comes the word of the Lord. Okay? Remember, Elijah had no food. First ingredient is nothing. Elijah had no food. Elijah says, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, we have these TV preachers nowadays that they say similar things, except different, right? I mean, they're saying, you send us $100, we'll send you this handkerchief or whatever. So it sounds kind of funny. It sounds like, I mean, here's a man asking this widow woman for her last meal. What is the preacher doing there? That doesn't sound right. But we read the next part, verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. There's the word of the Lord. Now, it's up to her whether to obey or not. Choose to do what God said, trust God, give the last meal to Elijah, and watch God supply something from nothing, or say, no, I think I know better. I need this food. This is my last food. So what did she choose? She chose to trust God. And God took nothing and made something. He supplied her meals until the drought was ended. That's what it says, doesn't it? Later on, you can read about her son being raised from the dead. None of that would have happened except for the something from nothing God. Now, how do we see this something from nothing? Well, I want to encourage you about our God. He's the something from nothing God. Now, how do we see that? First of all, in salvation. In salvation, he's the something from nothing God. In Romans chapter 3:10, it says, for there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. God said, there's no one who's righteous. We don't have righteousness. We can't save ourselves. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. God comes in and says, you do not have righteousness. There's the ingredient, zero righteousness. God comes in and the word of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the something from nothing God makes out of your zero righteousness, he gives you the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and you're saved. And he changes you. It's not just that he forgives your sin. He gives you eternal life, and he changes your heart. He gives you a new heart. He takes the heart of stone out, and he gives you a heart of flesh, a heart that listens to the word of God, that wants to do, that has a desire to do the will of God. Why? The something and nothing God takes your and my nothing of no righteousness, no goodness, and he forgives our sin. How? By the blood of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us on the cross. The something from nothing God. Jesus had all righteousness. We have none. He gives his righteousness to it. It's even more effect. Turn to Romans chapter 4 and you see that more strongly. Romans chapter 4, and we see the principle more strongly. There's something from nothing God. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Well, we'll just start in verse 2. Let's start there. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, zero works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God takes nothing, which is we have zero righteousness. We have zero right to be saved. We do not deserve to be saved. We deserve to be in hell. Next time you have trouble forgiving one of your fellow Christians, you better think about it. We ought to be in hell. God forgave us sins that are worthy of hell, and we won't forgive this man sitting next to us for an insult or a perceived insult. We need to think about that. But here's the something of nothing God, and he says, to him that worketh not, he justifieth that person. So we find that something from nothing God gives us salvation from nothing. But the something from nothing God can also give us strength from nothing. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40, 28. How many people, this is one of your favorite passages. How many people love Isaiah 48? Okay, let's look at this. Isaiah chapter 40. If you haven't memorized this passage, you ought to do that. You need to memorize this. And you can, Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, from nothing, amen, fainteth not, neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. Hey, God is smarter than you and I. Amen. We don't have the intelligence to question God. Now, sometimes we question God, and we understand why. In a human condition, we understand that. But God's intelligence is way above ours. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to whom? To the faint. He doesn't give power, and I'm not knocking exercise. I think exercise is probably good. Amen? Some of us need to do some. But he says he giveth power to the faint. He doesn't give power to the powerful. The people that are already think they're strong. Remember how Peter thought he was up for it? At the almost when Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never deny you. When God was telling him to his face, you are going to deny me. But Peter thought he was strong. No, he was weak. Hey, do you ever feel faint in the work of the Lord? What does it mean to feel faint? It means you're like ready to drop over, you know, fall over. or ready to quit. If you've been diligently serving the Lord and you haven't sometimes felt faint, you haven't been doing it long, amen? But hey, we all, whatever we're doing, if you're a mother trying to raise your kids and you feel faint, I'm trying to raise it the Bible way, it's so hard, there's so many difficulties. Hey, God gives power to the faint. But not just the faint, and them that have how much might? No might. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. What you saying? The something from nothing God takes the person that comes to him who says, Lord, I need to change this thing in my life. I have no might to do it. God, give me the might to do it. God gives might to those that have no strength. Those that are serving God, you're coming to the end of your rope. You can't seem to do it. You don't have any more energy. Come to the something from nothing, God, and get some power, because he can keep you going. That's the only one that can keep you going. So he gives us strength from nothing. I think about, I was telling Pastor Butts about a lady in our church, Mrs. Tanaka, because I just heard that she broke her thigh while at work. So that's pretty serious. But several years ago, her husband suddenly had a heart attack on a train station platform. The EMTs got there and resuscitated him, but he was in a coma for like 2 years, and then he died. She was in a state of, her husband wasn't working anymore. Fortunately, the company he was working for, they paid him salary for a while, and then they paid kind of a retirement for a while. And she had some money for support. But she was in the hospital almost every day with him. And instead of making that a time when she couldn't do anything, what did she do? She starts witnessing to the nurses, other people that were in there. This new church plant that we're going to in Kato City, there's a connection to that. Mrs. Tanaka was in the hospital with her husband, and she wasn't injured at that time. I'm saying she was with her husband, who was in a coma. And another lady came in there who was in the same basic condition. Her name, it's kind of hard to pronounce, Tsunemine, but you probably can't remember that. That's okay. But she came in there, and Mrs. Tanaka could make friends with anybody in about 5 seconds. I don't know how. She's just had that. Have you ever known somebody like that? And she could just get some rapport with people. She would talk to her and be friendly with her and witness to her. And I came there and witnessed to her. I prayed for her husband and witnessed to her some more. But she has her family has a vineyard, and so she was taking care of the vineyard while her husband's in the hospital. She's up in years, 60 something. Well, last year we were able to go. People from our church were able to go over to her house 2 times and witness to her, and then she's, according to Mrs. Tanaka, who has talked to her, she said that she's probably going to come to our first service that we have in the new church plant. Here's a lady that had no might. But the word of the Lord came, preached the gospel to every creature. She did that, and God supplies. The something from nothing, God can bring finances from nothing. I'm not telling you to purposely go out there and empty your bank accounts because you trust God. That's not what I'm saying. Hurry, let's spend it. But probably already did it. But anyway, what am I saying? I'm saying that you don't necessarily have to resort to plastic to have your needs met, because we have a something from nothing God. Did you know that God did not give this widow lady any money, did he? He gave her what she needed without any money. Now, then, in nowadays, this person would have been saying, I need like this many hundreds of dollars so I can feed my family for the next blah, blah, blah months. Right? That's the way we think. We need, I've got to provide this and this for my kid, so I need this much money. I've got to have this much money. We need to get a car, so I need a new kid. Need to get a new car. I need to have this much money. That's the way we think, isn't it? We got to have this amount of money. But sometimes God wants to give us some things with all the money in between. Amen? When we started Deputation, you saw that, I think you saw where all the kids were spread out on the blanket. That's at the end of Deputation. But we had four children. Teresa was just 6 months old. I had been a Christian teacher for 13 years, so I had amassed a huge amount of wealth, as you know. But we just started Deputation, and God took care of every need we had. I'm not saying to boast about me. I'm just saying we have a something from nothing God. I'm not saying everybody has to do that way. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we have a something from nothing God. You don't always have to have money, or you don't have to, you know, a lot of times we gotta have it now. We gotta have the one we want now, and we gotta use the credit card and get it now on Amazon, you know, delivered tomorrow. Amen. Owe me or whatever, right? But sometimes maybe we should just pray about something. We were on just deputation, not deputation, we were on furlough this time. One of our suitcases is busted, and it's kind of small, so got broken. Excuse me for the poor English. So maybe the English teachers will scold me or something. But so we were thinking about buying another suitcase. Well, we looked online, I looked in some stores, and I was going to think about buying a suitcase. And then we went to a friend's house who used to be missionaries in Japan. And I don't know how that subject came up, but she said, oh, my mom's moving into our house. We need to get rid of, she's got a suitcase in the garage. What kind is it? Well, it's a hard case. I said, that's the kind I want. Now, that's just a little tiny thing. But what am I saying? We have a something from nothing God. I didn't have to go out and buy it. I didn't have to use the credit card. Thank God. You know, I just prayed. God provided where I didn't expect it. Now, you could do countless, you know, I could mention countless things like that. I just want you to think tonight about the something from nothing God. On our first meeting place, mentioned on the video, here's how we got the first meeting place for our church in Japan, our first church. I started in about October of 1992, looking around our area. I contacted real estate agents. In those days, we didn't have online. You know, you went to the office, right? You went to their office and said, you know, I'm looking for this kind of a place for a church. If you find something like that, contact me. So everybody says, okay. But nobody contacted me. I ran around and looked and looked and looked. Either the places were way too much money, or the down payment was way too much money. Or when I told them it's for a church, they said, well, I don't want to, I'm not going to rent it for a church. So it was a long time. And then about February, I think it was probably January, there was a four-story building catty-cornered across from the main train station in our area. So I thought that'd be a good location. There was a convenience store on the first floor. On the second floor, there was a juku. Does anybody know what that is? It's a Japanese cram school. In other words, it's what the kids go to after school to learn what they're supposed to learn in school. That's what it is. It's a big industry in Japan. So it was a juku. So I went to the second floor and knocked on the door, and the head teacher was very kind. He had had a home stay with a Christian couple in Seattle when he was younger. He wasn't a Christian, though, but he was very friendly. And I said, hey, we would like to maybe use this on Sundays and Wednesdays to rent for a church. Do you think you'd allow us to do that? He said, well, you can't do it on Wednesday because we use it on Wednesday night. But you could rent it on Sunday. I said, well, can you... He said, but I can't give you permission. I have to ask the owner of our school. If he had several branches all over the place. So he said, okay. I said, okay. So he said, I'll ask the owner of the school. So a few days later, I went there and he said, Brother Ward, he didn't say Brother Ward, that's for sure. Wado-san. But he said, Mr. Ward, the owner is very happy to let you use it. However, we have to check with the owner of the building because we're renting the second floor. So I said, okay, that's good. So he checked. They checked with the owner of the building, and the owner of the building said, no, you can't use it. So I said, okay, well, God's closing that door. That's what I said to myself. And then the head teacher there said, however, we have in the neighborhood where you live, we have a vacant house that we used to use for our juku, but we don't use it now. We use this now. You're welcome to use that. And I said, how much would the rent be? He said, oh, you don't have to pay any rent. You just teach English for me a few times. So literally about three or four times he called me there to really just read an English test. That's all he had me do. But what am I saying? We have a something from nothing God. Here I was in Japan, pretty dumb, okay? My Japanese wasn't perfect. I'm a foreigner. I come to this guy. You know, you're just out there searching. And this God says, you can have this place for free. And so you saw the picture where, you know, Teresa was supervising the workers out in the yard to clean up. But anyway, that was her. But she's embarrassed now. But that was our first meeting place. And we had that for a while. Let me tell you how we got the property. Pastor said I could preach for 7 hours if I wanted, but that's a joke. I'll just tell you about how we got the property for our church that we built. We lost the free house because the owner had to sell that building. He needed the money. So after a few years, we lost that. We had to move into a room in our house, and we were very discouraged. I started looking for places, couldn't find anybody to rent to me or for a price that I could afford. So our church had been saving up money all this time. So we had approximately $50,000 saved up. This was after maybe 5 years or something. But we had about $50,000 saved up. And I thought, Well, I'd heard in Japan that if you had one third of the money, you could borrow the rest, you know. So I thought I could maybe buy a property with a building on it for $150,000 approximately. So I went to the real estate guy that loaned us our house. So I said, look, I'm looking for a place to buy a used property to buy, you know, for our church. He said, well, how much money are you talking about? I said, oh, about $150,000. He said, oh, there's nothing like that around here. So the houses in this area are $450,000 and up. I thought, I guess that's not going to happen. So I started to go out. He said, but we have this property over here. He said, look, and he showed me a sheet, and it was exactly that price. Well, it's not really $150,000. It's 15 million yen. So that's an approximation. So he said, do you want to look at it? I said, it doesn't have a building on it. He said, well, just... And so he took me over to look at it. It was just a field, which was overgrown with weeds, out in the middle of a farm area. You saw where the church was in there. But it was only about 300 yards from the housing development. But I said, even if I buy it, I don't have a building. How am I going to have a church? He said, I can work with you and get you a building permit. And I've got a friend who's an architect, so he can get you a building permit. So I said, well, but I need to borrow at least the rest of the amount of money. I don't have the whole amount of money. I have to borrow approximately $100,000. So he took me around to some banks. They all refused to loan the money because our visas are only for 3 years at a time at that time. So, of course, you know, when your visa runs up, there's no guarantee you're going to be there. So none of the banks would touch that. We came back to the real estate place, and he said, Mr. Ward, how long do you plan on staying in Japan? I said, well, God called us here. We're just going to be here, you know, until he tells us to go back to the States or something. He said, well, what if our real estate company borrowed the money and loaned it to you? And I said, well, I guess that would work as long as we can get a building permit. So a real estate company agreed to borrow the money and lend it to us. We said, let's get the term down as short as we can. He said, how much can you pay? I said, maybe $1,200 a month approximately. He said, okay. So we got the amount of time down to 7 years. We started out paying $1,500 a month, and it went down from there. The principal, $1,200, was paid every single month. What am I saying? We've got a something from nothing God. Go to a real estate agent here and ask them to loan you money. They're not going to do it. And that was a stupid thing. I know it was stupid. But we have a something from nothing God. And we are able to have a building now that's completely paid for after 7 years. The materials are all paid for. The building's paid for. And now they're going to have their own pastor. There wasn't a church before. There was zero. Then came the word of the Lord. Thank God that we went. And God made a church out of nothing. We have a something from nothing God. Let's bow our heads. I want to just ask you to examine yourselves tonight. And first of all, I want to start out with this. How many people here tonight would say, Brother Ward, I know for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven and be with God because I've received Christ as my Savior. How many people would say, I know that for sure. Raise your hand, your right hand, if you know that for sure, because you know for sure you've received Jesus as your Savior. Thank you very much. Is there anybody here that would say, Brother Ward, I don't know for sure. You know, I'm not sure if something were to happen, if I were to die, whether I'd go to be with God or not. I'm not sure about that. Is anybody here tonight like that? Raise your hand so we can pray for you. Anybody here like that tonight? I'm not sure about it. I don't have that settled. I don't see any hands, but if there's any hands, maybe. Anyway. Then I want to speak to you tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that said, Lord, I have a crisis in my life, and I need the something for nothing God to work for me in this crisis. I need to trust in you and wait for your word. Find out what you want me to do, and I ask you to help me to do it so that you can work in this crisis in my life. Is there anybody here tonight like that? There's something in my life. There's a crisis. I need you to work. I need to go. I need something from the something from nothing God. God bless you. God bless you, okay? Now, there might be some young people here saying, you know, I'm going to college. I don't even know how I'm going to get the money. Maybe you need to make a decision tonight to trust in the something from nothing God to get you through that, to get you on the road to doing God's will. How many here tonight would say, Brother Ward, I'm in that case. I know I'm going to school, or maybe I'm in school already, and I don't know how the money's going to come. Or maybe I want to put my kids in the Christian school, but I don't see where the money's going to come from, and I need something from the something from nothing God. Is there anybody here tonight like that? I need God's help in financial things. Anybody here tonight like that? Okay, I see that. Father, I pray that you'd work in hearts, and I pray that you'd encourage Christian workers and regular Christians and all of us here tonight about your power and about the power of the something from nothing God who can do, who can create things out of nothing, who can bring our salvation even though we have no righteousness, who can give us strength even though we have no might, who can provide our needs even though we don't see where that provision is coming from. Lord, I ask you to help strengthen the faith of Christians as they serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.